So I tried soccer my freshman year again and was the girl that faked hyperventilating to get out of running laps.
Diz Runs Radio episode 545 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, just want to give a quick shout out to the folks over at RochesterMarathon.com. The folks over there that are part of the Rochester Marathon, they do a whole series of races throughout the year, you know, different race distances, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, the whole nine yards. But one of the crown jewels of their race calendar is the Rochester Marathon, which is in Rochester, New York, upstate New York. Great time of year, middle of September. So if you're looking at your race calendar and kind of wondering, hey, what am I going to do this fall? You know, it would be nice to have a fall marathon on the calendar. You know, if you're in that part of the country, might not be a bad little race to check out. And if you're not in that part of, if you're down here somewhere in the South where it's hot and summer is still raging in the middle of September, you might enjoy a little break from the heat and run a little race. Again, a nice little race up in New York State, RochesterMarathon.com for all the information. And if you go ahead and sign up, make sure you let them know that you heard about it here. You took my recommendation and took it for what it's worth. So RochesterMarathon.com. And now, without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, I'm going to make the bold prediction that pretty much all of you have come across a tweet or an Instagram post or an article featuring today's guest at some point, because she's pretty much been there, done that with all things related to running on both social media and just online in general. She's represented various brands at a number of different races, and she's one of the things that she's looking forward to for the not-too-distant future is being part of the Strava 159 project, which I'm certainly looking forward to hearing more about as we go along today. And also, maybe what she's most well-known for, at least in some circles, is kind of creating the I Run This Body hashtag and that whole movement, and I certainly want to talk more about that as well. She's also a mom and a wife, and it's my pleasure to be able to welcome Ms. Dorothy Beal to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Dorothy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. That was a nice intro. Oh, well, thank you for making me sound good.
Oh shoot, I do what I can, but you know, it was not difficult. It was more difficult probably to pick out what things not to talk about in the intro than what to talk about. But anyway, guys, if you haven't stumbled across anything that Dorothy is doing before, I don't know what you've been hiding under, but the places to find her are mile-posts.com is the website, and on all things social media, just search for the handle milepost, depending on whatever your social media platform of choice is. Mileposts with an S is the place to find her. And we'll have everything linked up as we always do in the show notes. And that for today's episode will be dizruns.com/545. So Dorothy, the way we always start off the show is with a simple and straightforward question that sometimes it has a real simple and straightforward answer. And sometimes it really makes people think for a second, but whichever way it goes, it usually gives us plenty of things to talk about, at least at the start of the chat. And that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I would have to say the marathon is my favorite race distance. I don't really think there's a race distance that I don't like. I kind of, I just like running, so I like them all. But, yeah, I like the marathon the best, I think, if I had to pick one.
What is it about 26.2 that excites you if you had to pick one?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm kind of, I know this sounds really silly to say after saying that the marathon is your favorite race distance, but I'm kind of like a wimp. And so, like the pain of a 5K is just so, so painful that the pain of a marathon just seems not quite as bad to me as running all out super fast for a shorter distance. So yeah, I think that's what my draw is. But I don't know, there's just something so special about the marathon in that, like, how long it takes to train for it and how long it takes to complete the race. And I don't know, it's kind of like a journey versus you know, a 5K, like, you're running a race, you know? So, I don't know.
No, it's all good. And it's only in, and I'm right there with you, by the way, but only to a runner would the logic make sense of it. It hurts less to run 26.2 miles than it does to run 3.1 miles. But you're not the first person to say that. So it's some runner logic thing right there.
Yeah, I try to explain it to people, especially when I'm like, yeah, I'm just really a wimp. And, you know, that's why I don't do other things. Like, I just run marathons. And people are kind of like, well, when I think of someone who runs marathons, like, wimp is not the word that comes to mind. and I'm like, well, you know, it's just 2 feet on the ground, you know, 1 foot in front of the other for a long period of time. So...
Right. But, yeah. Instead of being in crazy pain from the start to, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes, whatever your 5K time might be, you know, it's just a lot of fun for the first, you know, three and a half hours. And then the last few miles there starts to hurt a little bit in the marathon. And so you kind of take your pick on how you want it to go, I guess.
Well, and the thing is like when it hurts in the marathon, you're so excited that you're completing a marathon that like the pain is kind of okay, you know? Whereas like the pain in a 5K, if I'm honest, sometimes it really pisses me off. like, you know, I'll be at mile two and I'm just like saying all these curse words to myself. And I'm like, why does this hurt? Why am I doing this? And, you know, there's that little voice in your head that's like, you know, if you just slowed down a little bit, like, it wouldn't hurt so bad. Whereas in a marathon, that voice is like, okay, well, you know, it could hurt a little less, but like the faster you keep moving, the faster you're at the finish line celebrating. So I don't know. Yeah. Runner logic, I guess, is the only way to explain how it makes any sense.
Well, yeah. And like I said, you're not the first person to share that, that same thought. And I've said it before as well. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but you know, better to have the dull, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's part of, you know, and I hate to say it like this because I don't mean it the way it's going to probably come across. But like, you know, I'd rather be sore after the words because I feel like I did something. So, you know, the marathon usually sore for a few days at least, maybe a little bit longer than that. And the 5K is like, yeah, it hurts. But by the time you finish, like the next day, you're pretty much good. And 2 days later, 3 days later, like you're fully recovered and back to training. So it's almost like I went through all this pain, but then I didn't even get a couple of days off from running as opposed to the marathon. You lay it out there and now you get to, you know, put your feet up for at least a few days, hopefully to allow your body to recover a little bit.
The marathon definitely sticks with you. And I think that's another reason why it's my favorite. Because, you know, at this point, I don't even know how many 5Ks I've run, and I certainly don't remember all of them. Whereas like the marathons, I could get a piece of paper and write them all down in the order of which I ran them. And I could probably recount a story that happened at each single one of them. You know, it just sticks with you in a different way. And I don't know, maybe people that race 5Ks as their farthest distance, maybe they feel the same way. Maybe they can recount the 5Ks. I don't know how it works, but for some reason, you know, the marathon just sticks with me, and that's kind of like the draw of it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I've had a few track athletes on at various points over the years, and yeah, they're like, yeah, I just can't imagine doing anything long like the 5K, and it just kind of forces me to chuckle a little bit because I'm like, God, I can't do anything. I can't imagine wanting to run a race as short as the 5K. Like, I'd rather go way long than that kind of short stuff.
Yeah, I remember when I first started running. I mean, this was like probably 2001, 2002. One of my good friends, who still is a good friend, ran in college, and she, her distance, you know, she did the, I guess you would call it 5,000 meters. I don't even know when you're in college. But she would tell everyone that she was a distance runner. And it just really confused me because I'm like, a distance runner, but like, you really don't go over, you know, a 5K race distance. So yeah, I mean, it's a good perspective because it is distance to some people. And you know, there are a lot of days that I go for a run and 3 miles feels like 20. So, you know, it's all relative, and unique kind of to the individual. So,
yeah. And that's one of the beautiful things about our sport is that we can all do what, you know, where we are in our fitness, where we are in our training, what we're building towards. And you know, it's all, you know, we're all kind of on that same journey. Just depends on exactly what your where your destination ends up is going to be, you know, with distances and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned that maybe kind of in that college age area is when you got into running. How did that completely happen? Because obviously, fast forward to now, I mean, running is a big part of at least the professional life and a big part of the life in general. But has running always been a part of your life? I'm guessing kind of not, since it sounded like you said, you know, like in college is when you first kind of got into it a little bit.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't a part of my life. My parents didn't do sports or anything like that, and they placed a really large emphasis on education and kind of being as smart as you possibly could, and physical activity kind of didn't really play into that. I don't blame them for that, because they weren't raised that way. So they just really didn't know. But I guess I was like an active kid. I had one season of youth soccer. That's all I can really remember from my childhood. And then I went to a high school for 2 years where you were required to do sports as part of the requirement for graduation. So I tried soccer my freshman year again, and was the girl that faked hyperventilating to get out of running laps. So I'm pretty much the last person on earth that any of my friends would have ever have thought would fall in love with running. But I went to college and just drank a lot of beer and ate a lot of pizza and started smoking cigarettes and just kind of fell down a hole. It kind of just like, I don't know. It was just, I just wasn't in a happy space mentally. So I came home and kind of had like, I don't want to say breakdown, because it wasn't a breakdown, but I was just at a really low point. And my mom suggested that I should start running. And so her and my father both said that they would pay for anything that had to do with running. So whether that was running shoes or a race entry, and they kind of got me into running. I definitely did not like it back then. Like, lots of people are like, oh, that's so cool, you ran with your parents. And and I'm like, no, it actually really wasn't that cool. Like, I was in college. Like, that's the last thing I wanted to be doing, is like going for runs with my parents. But it helped me lose a lot of the weight that I had gained, and it kind of kept me out of trouble, you know, instead of always going out and partying and just doing unhealthy things. It was like, well, I got to wake up tomorrow and go for a run. So after I graduated from college, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my life. My mom suggested I should train for a marathon, and I kind of had nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I said I'd try, and I tried, and pretty much the moment I crossed the finish line of that race, I tell everyone that I was forever changed. So I kind of look at my life in two places. Like, there's before I finished that marathon, and then there's after I finished that marathon. I've kind of been hooked forever since. So
yeah, there's certainly nothing like that first big race, whatever it is, marathon, half marathon, or whatever kind of that big finish line moment is, where you know, it kind of starts to, running kind of starts to take hold of you. You mentioned that at that point life, you know, had kind of changed. In what ways? How you know, crossing that finish line, was it really like, how were things really different for you at that point?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of self-confidence growing up. Like, I didn't really think I was going to amount to anything. Like, I didn't really have any dreams or aspirations, because like those things happened to other people. And I kind of really felt like it was too late for so many things, that it was like, well, you know, my friends were good at soccer, or my friends were good at, you know, this, that, and the other. And I just didn't really feel like I had any sort of like talents or anything that I was good at, you know. Like, sure, I got great grades, and like, you know, I mean, when you're like 35, you can't be like, well, you know, I really accomplished a lot in my life. I got 100 on all my tests when I was in fifth grade, you know, like, so I just kind of felt like it was too late to try anything, and kind of just gave up on myself. And then when I crossed that finish line, it was like, wait a second, like, I can actually do impossible things. And I know millions of other people have crossed the finish line of a marathon, but to me, it was something that seemed, I mean, if you had told me when I was little, yeah, one day you're going to run a marathon, I'd be like, yeah, right. And I'm going to go to the moon too, you know, like, so it just kind of crossing the finish line turned everything into like a different scenario for me. So instead of approaching things, well, you know, oh, I can't do that, or, you know, that's not going to happen, or why should I take that chance? It was like, well, why can't I do it? Or why wouldn't it happen to me? Or, you know, it just kind of completely reframed the way I looked at things. And so, yeah, it's kind of like a snowball that once it got going, like one little bit of confidence or one little victory led to another and another. And I still draw on it. Like anytime I have hard moments in life, I'm like, okay, like, at this point, you've done 34 marathons. So 34 times you've done something that you thought was impossible. So I think you can get through this. You know, it might seem impossible now, but in 10 years, you're going to look back and be like, oh, well, that was nothing. You know, that was easy. So.
Yeah. And I love how you said that it kind of snowballs and both in the running, you know, like you run one big race and then it kind of starts to go. And like you said, fast forward, now it's 34 marathons later, but also just in the confidence and how that goes into other areas of your life as well. And you can keep drawing back on the lesson of, I did this, so why can't I do, you know, X, Y, Z as life continues to throw challenges or curveballs or whatever your way.
Yeah. I think there's just so much to be learned from the marathon. And, you know, a marathon for me is 26.2 miles, but whatever your marathon is, like if that crazy big distance is a half marathon or a 10K, I just think there's so much that can be learned every time that you do one. You know, I've had marathons that didn't go my way and I was crying after, and it's like, but you survived. Like, you know, you still made it through, and what can you learn from that and apply to your everyday life? And I think, learn something or take something special away from every marathon that I've run. So, you know, lots of people will be like, well, at what point have you run enough? And it's not really the number. I love saying I've done 34, but it's not really the number. It's that, you know, maybe I'll stop when they stop teaching me something, but I'm not at that point. I'm still learning through each and every one of them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've said a few times that, I just feel like running is such a great teacher, and there's so much to learn. I almost question whether it would ever stop teaching anything, as long as you're open to the lessons, as long as you're open to learning. I feel like the sport will, at least for myself, continue to teach and continue to inform me at different phases of my life.
Yeah, I think the key word there is, you said, to be open to it. I think I know a lot of people who run that are like, you know, I just don't kind of get out of it what you get out of it. Like, it still is just working out to me. It's not like I'm not learning. I don't feel all these feelings and thoughts. And I kind of think you have to be open to it, you know, open to letting it teach you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not, at any stage, I've taught high school for a couple of years back in the day, and you know, the kids that want to learn, like they learn, and the kids that don't, they don't. And it's the same thing, no matter where you are and you know, at different phases of your life. If you're not open to the possibility of learning, it's kind of hard to get a whole lot of lessons into the brain. So yeah, I think that's an important part of any endeavor, whatever passion you're after. If you're willing to kind of learn a little bit, is there ever a limit to how much you can learn from whatever it is that you're into?
Yeah. I think another thing about that first marathon that I realized was that I loved kind of all aspects of running. So I loved participating in the race, but I also found it fascinating, you know, what goes into putting on a race, or what goes into an expo, or the marketing of a race, you know, or the different types of apparel that people are wearing, and why are they choosing to wear that and stuff. So I think it really ignited in me a passion, not just for running on my own personal level, but really all that the sport of running encompasses in terms of like turning it into a career. So
Well, and with that in mind, that's a perfect segue into kind of the business side of your life being, I think if the quote is wrong, forgive me, but I think your website says something like, running is your profession, but you're not a professional runner. And I love that that sentiment that you've kind of built something for yourself around a passion of the sport, which is something that I'm working on doing as well. How did, you know, I know from at least from my experience so far, my you know 3, 4, 5 years of doing this, that like it's a slow build, and you hope, kind of like with the snowballing, like you mentioned earlier, that you know one thing leads to the next, and I can do this and I can do the next thing, and it kind of keeps going from there. How did that process play out for you of turning, you know, I crossed this one finish line and yeah, I kind of like this running thing and running marathons. How did you get from there to where you are today with mile posts and with, you know, the I run this body and all of the things that you've got going on the professional side of your life related to the sport?
Yeah. So when I, when my mom was trying to get me into running when I was in college, I needed a job that summer and she was working at a local specialty running store. And so she suggested, hey, come work with me. You know, we can go to work together at the same time. And, it worked out because it was like, she would wake me up to go for a run and then we'd both get ready and go to work together. So I guess that's where it first started. Once I graduated, I got a part-time job with Brooks Running, who makes running shoes and stuff. And then that eventually turned into a full-time job being a tech rep for them. So I would go to different specialty running stores in the area and kind of explain the technology in the shoes or support local events in like a marketing type of role. And part of my job took me to a lot of the major marathons to work at the expo. So that's where it started, I guess. And then really it is just like a snowball. That job led to a job with Moving Comfort, which is no longer. So I started out in sales there and then got promoted to a product line manager of Run Fitness, which is, in the apparel department. And then they actually, my job got moved out to Seattle under Brooks, and it was about the time that I had had my first child. And so I decided, to stay back here. And through the contacts I had made through those jobs, found some like part-time work at local races and stuff like that. And then after I found out I was expecting my second child, I decided to stay home with my kids. I knew, like, I kind of had competing goals in that I really, really wanted to be, like a stay-at-home mom and to raise my own kids. Like, I didn't want, to be working a 9-to-5 job, but at the same time, like, I still had kind of professional dreams and aspirations. And so, I guess it was 2009, I decided to start a blog about running at that point. Like, I didn't even know people blogged about running, but, I just kind of started it to just kind of like keep up with my contacts and try to figure out a way to, stay relevant. And it was just around the time that blogs were like starting to pick up. So I guess I kind of just like fell randomly into the social media type of stuff. My dad's an entrepreneur and I've watched him my whole life start various different businesses. And so I kind of just, I guess it was after about a year of doing that I realized that there was a way to make money doing it. And so, yeah, I mean, my dad's always taught me like where there's a will, there's a way, like you just kind of figure something out, you know? So I guess since 2009, like I've just been figuring it out along the way, you know? And that sounds silly, but, it really has been kind of like a figuring it out. I don't really have, you know, no one taught me how to do this or anything like that, but I love marketing. And so, and I minored in business management when I was in college. So I kind of just have, yeah, figured it out along the way. I don't know how else to explain it other than that. But I do feel fortunate that, you know, I am living in a time period where you can figure out a way to make money from home. So I do, you know, this is what I do. I'm a work from home mom, but I'm also stay at home mom. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know, the opportunities to build something and create something and you know, it takes some time and you got it, like you said, where there's a will, there's a way. It's something where you got to keep working at it. And it's, you know, talk about another lesson from running, the same type of thing. Like you can't just expect to show up on race day and have a great race if you don't put in the training and the effort and learning along the way. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing with you know, online business and you know, turn it into whatever you want. It could be something big, something small, whatever, but you know, you keep working at it and the sky can in a lot of cases be the limit.
Yeah, I mean, it really is exciting and it's rewarding to be able to kind of, I mean, I hope on some level that I have helped people and continue to help people. I think it's like a mutually, you know, like, I think it's a great thing in life when you can figure out a way to make money, but also be helping people and to feel fulfilled, and combine that with something that you're passionate about just seems like, you know, the perfect job to me. So.
Yeah. Well, you're preaching to the choir on that one. It's it's a lot easier, you know, as we're recording this, it's on a Friday. And before we started recording, I made some joke about, well, being, you know, it's Friday, so that always helps to be having a good day. But like, honestly, like Monday is one of my favorite days of the week because I love what I do, you know? So
Monday
it's like,
is one of my favorite days of the week. I think it's really funny when everyone on Mondays is always posting all these like memes or memes or however you say it about Monday being so awful. To me, it's like the start of a fresh week. Like, what exciting things are going to happen that week? And a lot of what I do is very last minute. A lot of the brand partnerships that I work on, I don't really pitch a lot of companies. Like, a lot of what happens now comes to me. So to me, it's exciting to open my inbox and to see, hey, what opportunities lie ahead for this week. So
yeah, I'm right there with you. It's you know, something that, you know, start creating something that you enjoy doing, and it helps to pay the bills, and all of a sudden, you know, Monday morning isn't the worst part of it. And it used to, I mean, when I worked in corporate, it was a bad day. Monday mornings were not a good time, but now it's like, yes, Monday, start the weekend, let's do something.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and I know it's definitely I don't know whether privilege or luxury or what the word is, but you know, I am very grateful that this is the life that I have and I lead, because I completely recognize that not everyone has the opportunity to pursue their passion as a way of earning a living. So I am filled with gratitude that this is my life.
Certainly. I agree with that as well. And, you know, like you talked about some of the different opportunities and things like that. I remember seeing on your website when I was doing a little looking around and a little snooping around to try to put the intro together and have some things to talk about, that you had the opportunity to run a race that I haven't had too many people. I actually have had one person, though. The Great Wall of China Marathon. What was
yes!
that experience like?
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. So it's such a random, you know, how life works out, but I, just saw that there was like a contest to enter, to go to China, a trip for two to run the Great Wall of China Marathon. And I have a bucket list of marathons, and that was definitely on it. And so kind of what I was saying before, that first marathon gave me the confidence to enter things, to not be like, well, you know, why would I win? But more so, well, why wouldn't I win, you know? And so in order to enter, you were supposed to write an essay as to why they should pick you. And I kind of submitted a marketing plan and basically said like, hey, this is why you should pick me. And yes, I am definitely, you know, I definitely can handle it, but here also is why. and just waited and ended up winning. And thought, oh, well, maybe not a lot of people had entered. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was like they said it was around 3,000 or 4,000 people had entered. And I was the only person that had submitted it as my essay, a marketing plan. So, but anyway, so yeah, I won. If you have a bucket list for marathons, that needs to be on it because it is just absolutely incredible. I'd never been to Asia at all, so that was interesting, kind of just the whole culture shock and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the marathon, like, it was just such a humbling experience, and not humbling because it was hard, because it definitely was hard. But there were points where I would be at the top in these kind of like little towers that are on the wall. And I would pause for a second and look out and just be like, you are running a marathon on the Great Wall of China. Like, do you know how old this thing is? Like, it was built by hand. It's just such a crazy, surreal kind of moment to be in. And I don't think I would have felt that if I had gone and visited the Great Wall. You know, it was one of those moments where it really was like, wow, man, like as big as you can dream, you really can make it come true. You know, like you're in China right now, you know? So, but yeah, it was really, really incredible race. And I'm definitely physically and mentally challenging because there are so many steps. I still have, I have it pinned on my bulletin board in my office, and it's a little note with a Bible verse, but it says 5,164 steps, and that's how many steps are in the race. Wow. And so I think that marathon is very much like the first, that I draw so much strength from it. Because the steps are crazy. Like, everything obviously was made by hand. So it's not like, you know, I guess in my head, I didn't really think about the steps. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's going to be a lot of steps. But I didn't really think that it's that, like, some steps are 4 inches above the next one, whereas other ones, each step is a foot apart, you know? So you're almost like climbing versus just walking up the stairs. So, it was one of those moments towards the later part of the race where every single step I took, it was like a curse word that I said out loud, because it was just like, this hurts so bad. And actually, I have a picture where I'm at almost at the top towards one of the towers, and I'm laughing and smiling. And so as I had climbed up that, there was a race photographer perched right there. And I said to him, congratulations, you just captured the most painful moment of my life, like on camera. And he looked at me and said, yeah, that's kind of the point of why I'm here. And I just bust out laughing because it was like, oh my gosh, you know, like this is actually really funny. So, yeah, I think, next to childbirth, that race was definitely like the single most painful experience, but also, hands down one of, the most rewarding experiences of my life. So you should definitely run it.
full endorsement for the Great Wall Marathon. Or Great Wall
I know.
Marathon.
Well, and the thing is like, I there were a couple of people when I said, like, you know, I submitted a marketing plan that were like, well, you know, that's not exactly fair. Like, they just asked for an essay, and it's like, well, that was my version of an essay. And obviously what I said in that marketing plan is true, because here I am still talking about it, you know, on a near monthly basis. I'm always bringing it up to people, and not because I'm trying to market it, but because it really was such a life altering experience. So, I think they definitely, got their money back, from sending me there. But yeah.
Well, and I mean, who, I don't know. I don't see why anybody would give you a hard time. Like, that's, you know, the essay was to sell yourself on why you would be a good person to go there. So, I mean, I feel like you did that, and you know, and note to self, like, next time I enter a drawing for something that includes an essay, like, hey, don't be afraid to put a little marketing idea into it.
Yeah. And the thing is like when I applied for colleges, like I applied for a lot and, or to a lot of them. And I think all of my essays were ho-hum. Like I was just like, you know, probably a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. And what a lesson in failure that was, because I only got accepted to one college. And for the longest time, like that ate at me because I had gotten so many denial letters. And I think I didn't realize that it's like when they ask you to write on a certain topic, you can write about that topic, but you need to write about it in your own way, you know? And I just played it safe and was like, you know, I'm a good student or this is what I do. Like there was nothing that really made me stand out. And so in hindsight, I think getting denied by all of those schools was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. And taught me a lot about taking chances and not always doing things the way that you think you should do them, you know, kind of just taking a chance. So
yeah, I think there's a lot to be, my business brain is kind of spinning right now, and there's a lot of things that you can do, like you said, just stand out, you know, if you talk about college acceptance letters, like, or college, you know, application letters, like they're getting thousands of those. And so how do you make them want to read yours again? Or how do they, you know, make it get a sticky note on it so that they see it? And it's the same thing if you're applying for a race, you're applying for an ambassadorship, whatever it is, like if you're applying, how do you set yourself apart from everybody else and make whatever prompt or suggestion that they want you to write about, make it unique so that it does stand out?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that each one of us is unique. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to figure out a way to show through your uniqueness to someone, because that's not always the easiest thing to do on paper. And I think so often we get caught up in kind of like the accolades, like, oh, well, let me write down, you know, I won this or I was good at that. But like, What those accolades tell me is like, yeah, you're a hard worker, but like, what are you also contributing? I think a lot of times, especially with colleges, but even so with jobs, like, you know, yeah, you're going to be a hard worker, but there are millions of hard workers. So what are you bringing to this college or to this company that the company is going to benefit from hiring you? You know what I mean? What are you kind of going to be contributing that's unique, that they're not going to find with somebody else, that literally you are the only person that's going to bring that to the table? So I try to always keep that in mind.
Yeah. And you know, and along those same lines, it's a case of, you know, they're giving you whatever it is. They're giving you the job. They're giving you the trip to China. They're giving you, you know, free shoes for the year to talk about them on your blog, whatever it might be, but they are going to want something back, like you said, like the people with China, like you've gotten them plenty of exposure that it's probably very well paid for itself several times. So if you can think of that in that win-win scenario, like I'm going to get this, which would be a win, but how can I make sure that they're confident that they're getting a win too? I mean, it makes so much sense once you think about it that way, but it's easy to just go, oh, this is what I need to write about. And like you said, these are my qualifications, or this is the successes I've had. And you're not putting it in a win-win scenario at that point.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Yeah. It's like I said, my business brain is spinning a little bit, but we can progress on to some other things. And I definitely, it also is kind of a good tie-in of, you know, like, everybody's unique, you said, and everybody brings different things to the table. And I have seen, certainly, I think we've all seen different posts on social media with the hashtags that you've gotten going with the I Have a Runner's Body and Anybody Can Run and I Run This Body. Where did that kind of movement, I don't know if movement is the right way of saying it or not, but where did that idea come from? And you know, obviously it's become kind of its own thing at this point, but how did that part of your social media presence get started?
There's a lot of things that I do now in my social media that are strategic, but I think when I started, like hashtagging, I Run This Body, like it wasn't anything strategic. It literally was like, I was using, like a phrase that I loved and just wanted to like turn that into, a business, you know? And so, Yeah, I think that's how I run this body started. But then, like I said before, like I'm a really big marketing nerd. And so I kind of just like love the power of hashtags and as an affirmation for myself. But also they're just a really good way to kind of make people remember your brand, you know, like everyone knows Just Do It is Nike. And so I really just wanted to come up with things that were positive, but that also like when you heard that, when you heard I run this body, like you knew that was me. So yeah, I guess that's how it started. And you know, it was really slow going in the beginning. I think every single photo under the hashtag was mine. but yeah, I haven't even checked it in a while, but I know it's definitely over like 250,000. And I have a runner's body. I started, I guess, 2 years ago, maybe. That one is well on its way to 100,000. And that one was a little bit different. I started that as kind of just whenever people, I don't want to say whenever, but frequently when I meet people, people are like, oh my gosh, you run? Like, I always thought runners were like these super skinny people. And I know a lot of people don't mean to sound like a complete a-hole when they say that, but like you sound like a complete a-hole, you know, like it's like all in one sentence. You just said like that I'm not super thin, that I don't look like an athlete. Like, you know, it just is so judgmental. And I am by no means somebody who's overweight. And so it was like, okay, well, if I'm getting these comments, like, what are people saying to anyone who's any bigger than me? And also, like, I think that's really crappy. You know what I mean? Like, I know that there is a popular ultra runner who had someone during an ultra marathon, like, leave her a nasty comment about her not being a runner. And it's like, okay, well, that woman may be larger than me, but she also has run farther than me. And I'm pretty sure if you're running an ultra marathon, like you can't fake your way through an ultra marathon. Right. You know what I mean? So I kind of started that as like, I think that was all, like it was, a lot of it was for myself to be like, you know, gosh darn it. Like I have a runner's body, like I'm a runner. And you know, I've gotten some flack on both ends of the spectrum. Like somebody the other day said that I don't post enough fat people on I Have a Runner's Body. And like that really stung because it's like I am not promoting one specific body type. Like I am saying if you are thin, you run, you have a runner's body. If you are curvy and you run, you have a runner's body. If you are larger or thicker or taller or shorter, or you know what I mean? Like I am just merely saying that every single person that runs has a runner's body, and just kind of trying to get rid of that like stereotype of people thinking that only people that are really super thin are runners. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, that's how I started that one. And that's kind of like, that one means a lot to me because I hope in some tiny, small way, it helps somebody feel good about themselves. So.
Yeah. And yeah. I love the idea behind it and just, you know, I probably don't look like to some people, I wouldn't look like a runner. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm not real skinny. I don't have, you know, legs up to my armpits, that type of thing where, you know, you think of like, you know, some of the elites, like that's kind of, at least to me, that's kind of the image that comes into your mind. But then you look at, even if you look at the elites, there's all kinds of height discrepancies, taller, shorter, a little bit more muscular, whatever. And it transcends to us, you know, quote unquote, normal runners as well. So I love that you're shining the light on it. And you know, do you get I don't know exactly what I'm trying to ask here other than, you know, you said that you get a couple of comments here and there, but for the most part, I'm assuming the response has been overwhelmingly positive?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the response is overwhelmingly positive. But, you know, I think with anything that you do online, you know, you can have 200 people tell you that you're doing a good job, but it's that one person that says that you're not doing a good job. And that's the one that you kind of remember. But also, you know, I don't shy away from criticism. Like I don't consider everyone who criticizes me or what I'm doing to necessarily be a hater, because I have learned a lot from these people. And quite honestly, like, I've been blogging since 2009. I was in my 20s. Like, I am now 35. And while that's not old, I do think I have grown up a lot. And I think a lot of stuff that I did or wrote about early on into blogging, like, I'm mortified that I wrote or said or did those things. So I definitely, you know, when someone says something, you know, I try to look at it from their angle and try to say, okay, wait, is this a good check for me? Like, am I doing what I think I'm doing? Am I saying what I want to be saying? Is that clear? Could I be doing a better job at this, that, and the other? So I do probably more than the average person pay attention to any critiques, just to make sure that I am, on the right track, you know?
Right. Well, and you know, another kind of marketing / businessy type of thing that I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard it as well, where it's like, you know, if you're not kind of showing enough of who you are, and this is, you know, I'm for this this movement or this thing, you're gonna turn some people off. You can't please everybody. So, you know,
yeah,
not only can you use it from the positive perspective of like, what is their perspective and is there something I can do to improve, but also, like, you know, at some point, If you're doing something big enough, you're going to attract some haters or some trolls or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the nature of the beast, especially online.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that happens, especially, you know, it is kind of a weird thing when you are promoting yourself all the time, because you are kind of, you know, you're personally wrapped up in what your job is. So it's hard sometimes to kind of like separate out the two, and to kind of not take things personally, or to be like, you know, I don't actually know that person. Like, that is just a screen name mm-hmm. on a computer, you know? And I think some of that comes with age too, just realizing that, like, you really can't make everyone happy. Like, someone is going to not like what you're doing, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. It just means you're not for that person, you know?
And there's absolutely nothing wrong. Like, I mean, nothing wrong with that at all. Like, I know that there's probably some folks that have listened to an episode or two of the show, and they don't like that I don't have set questions, or they don't like that it takes, as you know, close to an hour instead of being a 15-minute thing. That's, you know, whatever. Like,
it
is what it is.
Yeah, and it really is. It's like, you know, when someone watches a TV show, oh, well, that's a good one. Oh, well, I hated that one. You know, like, the TV show doesn't take it personally. Right. It's not like sitting there crying like, oh my gosh, that person doesn't like it. Like, some people just don't like it, you know? And something that struck me the other day, there's a woman that I follow on Instagram, and I really like her Instagram, and I you know, have gained a lot of knowledge, and like, she just speaks to me, you know? And so she started a new podcast with somebody else, and I got all excited to listen to this podcast. And I kid you not, the 20 minutes that I listened to of the podcast was like someone scratching their nails on a blackboard. And I was like, this is awful. Like, I cannot listen to this at all. And so instead of me, you know, judging the woman as not being for me, like, I just didn't like the podcast. It wasn't my thing. I still really like her Twitter account, you know? And so I think you can't really, you know, like, you just can't take things personally and have it be, well, I'm doing a bad job, mm-hmm. or it's just you. If you were for everybody, then I would say that you are not being true to yourself, you know? And yeah. I always want to be true to myself first. So there are going to be people that really hate me, and, you know, that's okay. Like, I don't need to change who I am to make everyone like me. So
yeah, I totally agree. And it is hard. And I've had a few of those things where it's, you know, it stings and you go, God, that, but then, you know, you also got to remember that there's probably, you know, for every one that complains, like you said earlier, there might be 200 or 300 or 50 yeah. or whatever it is, whatever the number is of people that like what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing. So, you know, don't fly off the handle just because you have one person that disagrees with what you're doing a little bit.
And I know it can be such an overused analogy where it's like, you know, you can be like the ripest peach, but some people just don't like peaches, mm-hmm. you know, but it really is so true because there's times where there's been, you know, other women that are in this space doing similar jobs, or, you know, just doing similar social media stuff. And I've questioned myself like, gosh, why doesn't that person like me? Or like, you know, I try so hard and I just don't get a good vibe from them. And it's like, there are some fruits that I just don't like. And like, those fruits didn't do anything wrong to me, but I just don't like the way they taste, you know? And like, other people like them a lot, but they're just not for me. And so, you know, I think that probably is also just a lot of growing older is kind of just being like, you know, it's all right if not everyone likes me. And I mean, I'm saying it right now. And, you know, there's a little voice that's like, oh, but it sucks when not everyone likes you. But like, it's okay. You know, right. Like, it's okay. So,
yeah, it's never easy. But yeah, you're never going to please everybody. So you just kind of have to, you know, kind of try to let it go, and it's easier for some than others, that's for sure. But the quicker you can let go of whatever it is, somebody's, you know, commenting on your photo that you post, like, oh, look, you know, you don't look this, you don't look that, or whatever it is, something that you say, something that you do, I mean, you just kind of, you know, whether you're a brand, whether you're just a person posting something on internet and sharing something with a hashtag or whatever it is, it's tough when you get those, but you got to just kind of, hopefully they don't sting too much and you can move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, I am so thankful. I mean, the fact that I do tons of stuff in social media now has made me probably more thankful than the average person. But gosh, I am so thankful that, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff was not around when I was a kid, because I don't know that I would have been strong enough to kind of navigate it with grace. So, needless to say, my children are not on social media, which is kind of starting to be a hard thing because my daughter's in sixth grade and, you know, I can see some of her friends looking at my Instagram stories and I'm just like, oh, you know, like, I'm holding out, keeping her off of social media for as long as I possibly can. So
yeah. And then that's a whole nother, another ball of wax for another day. But it's like, you know, at some point you're protecting them, but at some point they also have to, you know, just like we all had to kind of take our lumps at whatever it is, whether it's, you know, yeah. when a kid is and going, you know, just growing up and learning stuff online, like whatever I have a 3-year-old and I look forward, but I don't look forward to those days of trying to figure out what the internet's going to be like in another 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah. It's just really confusing because, you know, it's not like there is long-term data studies mm-hmm. or, you know, it's not like you can go to an older and wiser, you kind of like matriarch and say, hey, right. you know, what did you do when you raised your children? Cause they're just, you know, we're living it for the first mm-hmm. time. So
we're all just making it up as we go.
It's crazy. We are, which is also equally frightening, mm-hmm. but you know,
yeah, that's true. But then at some level, and maybe this is the hopefulness in me as a dad, but it's like, you know, at some level kids have always been kids and kids will always be kids. And it's just what they're using changes. So, you know, hopefully we don't screw them up too much and they'll, you know, continue to you know, make us proud, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now.
I hope you are right.
So Dorothy, as we're getting close to wrapping up, I love to finish with something that I call a philosophical question, which usually I have a list of 3 or 4 things and I kind of pick one depending on how the conversation goes. But I'm going to harken back to something that you said that I thought about following up right there. And I said, no, wait a minute. I'm going to save this for the end because I think this will be a great way to finish up. But the moral of the story with a philosophical question is you can answer it long, you can answer it short, you can answer it in the middle, just kind of whatever your answer is. And this will be kind of the way we're going to wrap things up or, you know, the way that we'll put a bow on it for today. But you mentioned that maybe, you know, you'll stop running or stop running marathons at least when you stop learning something from them. And you know, that struck me because, and I think I said it at the time too, that I've often called, you know, running a great teacher and lessons that I've learned. And so I'd just be curious if you could share one or two or whatever, some big lesson other than them from the first one, because we covered that one pretty well in depth. But you know, another lesson, if you can say, and I would believe you that every lesson or every marathon has taught you something. What is another big lesson that you've learned from crossing the finish line of a marathon at some point in the other 33 races that we didn't already kind of go more in depth on earlier in the conversation?
Oh gosh. Yeah, that's a tough one.
So I save the softballs for the beginning and throw the hardball a little bit at the end. That way, you know, it doesn't completely derail the conversation as we go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I can like just say one, but like there's so many little lessons, like, you know, life goes on. Like it's just the miles come and then they go and you get through it. Let's see. I like want to say something good here because I like want someone who has never run a marathon to be like, oh my gosh, I need to run. I need to run one. yeah, I guess the marathon has just really taught me what I am made of. And I think, I love the quote, you know, by endurance we conquer. And I kind of feel like the marathon has taught me a lot about my personality in that, you know, I might not be great at things that are like short term, you know what I mean? Like, but because of my endurance, because I can last and keep doing something when others would have like lost hope or given up. I mean, I think if anyone had been doing what I did, you know, if anyone had taken my place in starting my blog, they probably would have given up long before, you know, because in the beginning, like I was making no money and it was kind of like, why am I doing this? And why am I putting myself out here? And why am I dealing with people saying not nice things to me? And, you know, this is taking time away from my kids and my family. And, but I think because I knew like, if you stick with something, you know, if you just have the endurance to keep going, that you can kind of get where you want to go. And that it's not going to be easy. I mean, a marathon is not easy. I've done 34 of them and they still scare me and they are still hard. And, you know, when I am at the start line of a marathon, every single time it like takes my breath away where I'm like, wait, hold on a second. I have to run 26.2 miles. Like, do you know how far that is? You know, like if you were running from town to town to town, which is what, you know, some marathons do, like it's a really far place to go. And so I think it's good to look at your life in that sense. Like if you think of where you want to go, like if you think of the end point, it can be so overwhelming to your mind that it almost just wants to shut down, you know? But if you just look at everything as 1 mile, like I'm just going to go 1 mile. And then at the next mile, I'm going to analyze if I can go another mile. You know, if you kind of look at things and break them down into mile long tasks, shall we say, then you can get where you want to go. You just have to not kind of let yourself look at the whole giant picture, but really look at the small pictures along the way, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like looking at things and, you know, a lot of times I'll write out dreams and goals for myself and like they quite honestly make me sick to my stomach because I'm just like, I mean, really, Dorothy, how on earth are you going to do that? Like, but if I write out small little tasks, like, well, in 2 months, this is where you want to be, or in a year, this is where you want to be, then lo and behold, all of a sudden, I'm at the end, you know? So especially, well, not especially, but a lot of times during a marathon, if I'm like struggling with the distance, I play mental games. And so it's like, okay, well, you're just running a 10 miler today. Mm-hmm. And so I run 10 miles. And then at the 10 mile point, I'm like, okay, guess what? We're actually running a 10 miler today. And like, I completely forget about the first 10 miler. And so it's like, all right, well, you know, when I'm at mile 11, actually I'm at mile one. Mm-hmm. And so I count one, two. And then when I get to 20, it's, I don't think about the 20 miles that I just ran. Like, I literally am at the start line of a 10K, right, and now we're going to run a 10K, you know? And I have done this for so many years that, like, I actually really can trick my mind into just completely forgetting about the past 20 miles and just starting fresh, you know? So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question. Oh my goodness. Or what.
Yes, it totally did. And you know, you're all worried about trying to come up with one with, you know, I was asking for maybe one and you gave four or five, six things there. So that was fantastic. So thank you for that, Dorothy. And certainly some things that I can probably need to relearn. And certainly some things I would imagine that folks that are listening would be like, oh yeah, that would be a good thing. You know, a good reminder, a good something as well. So lots of great stuff there. And I certainly appreciate it. And guys, once again, mile-posts.com is the website. And on all of the socials, just follow at mileposts and you'll see what Dorothy's up to and all the hashtags and all of those things. You know, follow along. It's good stuff. And we'll have everything linked up as we always do. Dizruns.com/545 for this episode. So, Dorothy, thank you. What people don't know is that we tried to line this up, I don't know, what, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, something like that. And it got lost in the email shuffle, which has been known to happen to me and to a lot of people. And here we are today, finally making it happen. So glad
there we go. By endurance.
By endurance. Exactly right. So, glad we were able to chat today and who knows, maybe somewhere down the line we can circle up and do this again at some point, but certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome and all the best going forward. All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Dorothy and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was something that we talked about, a little bit of the conversation that really stood out to you and maybe that got you thinking, got your gears turning a little bit? For me, it was kind of a reminder of something that I maybe had forgotten over the years, but just the idea of setting a goal, doing something that maybe you didn't think was possible, but then achieving it. And really wondering then what else is possible? What else am I capable of? You know, it went back to when we were talking kind of early in the conversation and Dorothy was talking about, you know, her first marathon and how, you know, she did it. And at that point, once she was successful, when she crossed that finish line, like, I wonder what else I can do. And I kind of feel like maybe in my running, I've kind of lost that sense of what is possible because, you know, not to sound cocky because I'm not that great of a runner by any stretch, but I'm kind of at the point where finishing a marathon, it's still an achievement. It's still something I'm proud of, but I go into a race expecting to finish, not wondering if I can. And maybe last year when I ran the ultra, that was maybe the last time of like, I wonder if I can do this. And then doing it and it just kind of opens your mind up to the possibilities, you know, where I've said before a few times now, like I'm not scared of an ultra anymore. I'm still a little bit scared or a little bit, no thanks when it comes to like a 100 miler, but you know, a 50K, no big deal. I've done that before. And now maybe I can do a 50 miler and, you know, it's kind of put me back on that trajectory of like, I could do X. I wonder what I could do if I tried Y. And it just opens that possibility. And that's one of those lessons that I think really translates between running and other areas of life as well. You know, if you can run a marathon, maybe, you know, maybe you could go for that higher degree or you could go for that next promotion at work or whatever it is. You know, you can do a half marathon, you can do a marathon, whatever is a big goal for you. What other doors does that open in other areas of your life that maybe you thought might have been impossible before, but you know that you can do something if you set your mind to it and work towards it because you've done it in your running and maybe that transcends to other areas of your life as well. And like I said, that was something that I feel like isn't a new thing for me or a new thought, but something that maybe I'd forgotten about. And this was a nice little reminder, which makes it a takeaway for me, something to bring back to the forefront of my mind and keep it in my mind and maybe call on that when I'm you know, struggling in a place with business or with other areas of my life, or even with running, if the doubts start to creep in, which they do for all of us at some point or another, remembering that I've done a marathon, I've done an ultra, I've PR'd in the half marathon twice in less than 12 hours. You know, there's some things that I've done as a runner that are pretty cool, and I wasn't sure they were possible, but I've done them. So how does that transcend to other areas of my life? And that's definitely my takeaway. What about you? What was it for you that stood out from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave your feedback there, your comments, your takeaways as well. And for this episode, you can get to the show notes at DizRuns.com/545 to leave your feedback, and it will live there in infamy forever. So that is it for today. And don't forget, if you want to check out more information about the Rochester Marathon, head over to rochestermarathon.com. Again, middle of September, great time of year to be up north upstate New York. Check it out. Good little race. So if you're interested, looking for a fall race, definitely recommend it. So that is it for today. The bow is officially on. Thank you guys for listening. Hope that you have a great rest of the day. Thanks for all you do to support the continued growth of the show, sharing it, talking about it, tweeting about it, posting about it. Really do appreciate it. So until next time, please take good care, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.